Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Left of Straight Show. It is Tuesday, September 20th. I hope you're having a great week so far, guys. Welcome to Left of Straight Show. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. Got a great show for you today. If you missed yesterday's show, be sure to check it out right here on Blog Talk. It'll be up on the website, I believe, later tonight or tomorrow. Great guest yesterday. We have Pano from YouTube fame. Great. I love this guy. Snarky, fun. Been doing YouTube videos since he was like a freshman in high school. And he's now a senior in college. So just a great guy, kind of talks about what the YouTube life is like, and a great interview with him. And then, of course, with our buddy Randy Slavicek from the Randy Report on yesterday. He's my pop culture go-to guru guy. Does his Randy Report every day on his blog, therandyreport.com, and has his own radio show where he talks pop culture. We talked Emmys yesterday. That was a lot of fun. And then, of course, I...
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like me to go over everything. They say that time's supposed to heal ya, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles. Hello from the other side. I must have called a thousand times to tell you I'm sorry for everything that I've done. But when I call you, never seem to be home. Hello from the outside. At least I can say that I've tried to tell you I'm sorry for breaking your heart. But it don't matter, it clearly doesn't tear you apart anymore.
Hello, how are you? It's so typical of me to talk about myself. I'm sorry, and I hope that you're well. Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing ever happened? It's no secret that the both of us are running out of time.
Hello from the other side. I must have called a thousand times
And we are back. That again is Brandon Shea with his cover of Hello from Adele. Guys, we have Paul on the phone. I guess I was breaking up a little earlier for everyone, so I apologize if the beginning was chopped up. If it was, I'll re-edit it when it goes up on all of the social media networks and on SoundCloud and everything. So I do apologize for that. But I am calling in on my phone, so hopefully everyone can hear me better. And we are here with my first guest. He's a great friend of the show. This is his fourth appearance on Left of Straight Radio. He's been on this show twice. He talked to us all about his amazing art last year and was on the Christmas show. And he talked in the Healing Stigma about his awesome commitment to fight bullying. He's a visual artist and activist whose paintings have been sold around the world, and his art covers for romance books are sought after everywhere. His first series, The Cheesecake Boys, mixed Norman Rockwell with LGBT camp, and his latest series, War Paint, has been showcasing the inner beauty and strength of all of its subjects. He just moved across country, and I can't wait to talk to him about his new journey. Please welcome back to the show the amazing Paul Richmond. Paul, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing so well. I missed talking to you, and we missed each other at Pride in Columbus this year, and now you're gone. I'm so bummed.
I know. That was like your chance. What happened?
It was. Oh, it was crazy. I was there for the first day, and then I didn't make it the second day for the parade, so it was a crazy time.
Oh, okay. That's what happened.
Welcome
I was there for
back.
The parade day.
Of course, we have that fantastic T-shirt featured in it, your One Pulse, which I have you in. If you're watching the live show, go to Blog Talk. You can see Paul in his One Pulse T-shirt in honor of Orlando.
Yeah.
I have mine that I ordered. That was great of you to do that. Talk about that real quick.
Yeah, so it was, a lot of, like a lot of things in my life, whenever something happens and I don't know how to process it or deal with it, I just felt like I needed to do something kind of creative to deal with the emotions of it. So when the tragedy happened at Pulse Nightclub in Orlando the next day, I was sitting and just kind of sketching, and I made this little design that kind of immediately I thought could make a great T-shirt and be sold as a fundraiser to help the victims. So I reached out to a local a company called Traxler Tees, and they were really on board with it. And so right away they went into production with the shirts and sold thousands of them. It was really awesome to get to go to Pride. We actually had a group that was we were all wearing the shirts, and we walked in the parade. And as we were walking along the route, there were so many people in the crowd who were wearing the shirts. It was just really a powerful thing to see. And I know that they raised a lot of money, and they're actually still selling them. So anybody that wants one still can go to TraxlerTees.com and order the One Pulse shirts. That was just a great collaboration with an awesome company that wanted to do some good. I know they put in a lot of long hours making those shirts to fill all those orders real quick.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're talking Columbus Pride was the Saturday after the tragedy in Orlando, and so you had stepped up right away. They stepped up right away. And like you said, I think they had like the first 1,000 orders in the first 24, 48 hours, and they were T-shirting like crazy getting those out to everyone. So good on them, man. That was
They were killing it. It was impressive. I went over and they had a whole production going there, and I saw a lot of tweets from like late at night of people making shirts. So I was happy to see that and glad that it was just a way for people who wanted to do something, because wearing the shirt is a show of support in itself, and then also of course the money raised is all going to the victims and the families of the victims. So it was a good thing.
It's a beautiful thing, and we're going to talk later. You've been so kind. You're going to donate a print to one of our guests or one of our listeners,
yes.
And I think I just thought of that. I think I will buy a shirt, and I will send that along with it and send out
wonderful.
One of the shirts, because it's such a great – I love my shirt. I wear it all the time. So that'd be a great
I
little Paul Richmond prize package today.
I like it.
Well, let's talk about – give everyone a quick recap. I mean, we got to have a great conversation last season.
Yes.
But remind everyone, what got you into painting again? You had an amazing mentor. You grew up around here. Talk about that just real quick. We'll fill everyone back in.
Sure. Sure. I mean, ever since I was a little kid, all I wanted to do was draw. And neither of my parents are artists, but they had the insight to know that they needed to connect me with somebody who – who was, and they found a great local painter named Linda Regula, and I started taking painting lessons with her when I was about 3.5 years old. And it kind of just set the course for the rest of my life, really. I studied with her all throughout my childhood, went to Columbus College of Art and Design. I always knew I wanted to be an artist. And it's kind of funny because you encounter so many people. I know I did, and I know a lot of my friends who are artists. Everybody always says, you don't want to grow up and be an artist because you'll never be able to make a living. You know, everybody's really so scared of what the career prospects are. But in my case, I mean, I never had a backup plan. There's nothing else that I could do that would make me feel as, you know, fulfilled as what I'm doing. So I just knew that I had to kind of give it, go all or nothing, and that's what I've been doing. So I've done a little bit of everything. I do a lot of fine artwork that I display in galleries, and I've been fortunate to have shows in galleries, and I had my first museum show this year in March in Evansville, Indiana, which was a great experience. That was my war paint series you had talked about earlier. So I've been doing that, and then I also do a lot of illustration work. I do book covers for Dream Spinner Press. I do a lot of work with them. That's a gay fiction company. We publish 13 books a week through all of the different imprints. We have a young adult line called Harmony Inc., so it's all geared towards the LGBT community, so that's really exciting work. So I do a little bit of everything.
A week? I didn't realize that. You do 13 books a week?
13 a week. We're busy. I don't do all those covers myself. I do some of them, and then I'm the art director, so I also work with other freelance artists to do some of the other covers as well. We have a whole amazing group of people that we work with on all of our publications. So that company started, it was just a small group of friends. I think maybe it's been 10 years, 9 or 10 years. I should know this, but it was just a small group of friends who were really into reading these stories, these gay romance stories is where it began. And nobody was really publishing it. You know, all the novels and things that were, and movies and everything that was being put out with a gay theme always ended in some kind of horrible tragedy. You know, people were either dying from disease or they were being gay bashed to death. And this group of women that started this company thought, you know, gay guys should get to have happily ever afters too. So that was really the whole premise of the company. And it took off. I mean, they really found a niche market and then owned it. So it's been awesome to see how, you know, something that started so small just really grew. I mean, it's a very successful company, and it still has such a nice small family feel. So I love getting to do all that stuff too. So I do a little bit of all of it. I still do illustration work. I do my Cheesecake Boys series, which are the pinup boys. I give a free one away every Friday as a little coloring page on my website.
Yeah, talk about that. I love that you're doing that. You're doing coloring pictures of these Cheesecake Boys, and the prints are just hilarious. Like I said, they kind of have that Norman Rockwell feel. I'm not sure if that's what you're going for or not.
Yeah.
It has that feel, definitely, of course, with the fun little play of the LGBT bent on it. And these coloring things got to be great. You got to have some fun submissions you're finding.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was really the whole point, was that I just, you know, the series is so fun, and people always have, you know, funny things to say when they see them, and like come up with, you know, hilarious captions and things. So I thought it would just be a fun way to make something that could be really interactive with people. So every Friday on my website, I put up a new sketch, and it's very limited edition because it's only up for a week and then it disappears forever. So I don't keep the old ones on there. I swap in a new one each week, but it's a sketch. I upload the high res drawing, and people can download it and color it. You know, adult coloring books are all the rage right now, so I thought this would really put the adults in adult coloring books. They're basically like the old pinup girls, you know, from the 40s and 50s, so they're not like super, super scandalous or anything. It's kind of cheeky humor, but I just thought it would, I've been doing the Cheesecake Boys for a while, and it's always just been meant to be kind of a playful take on that whole pinup girl concept, but with male models instead, because, you know, it was time to turn the tables on that.
Exactly. They're amazing. The colors are fantastic. You have such a great use of colors to begin with, but these are the really vibrant, like I said, type of just really jump out at you type colors, and the models are so so Norman Rockwell realistic. It's awesome. So I love that that whole style makes its way for coloring books, because like you said, there's a new thing with your little pencils and stuff. It's a new adult toy now.
It is, and people can make it in, you know, however they want. And that's what is really fun for me about it, is I ask people to post, you know, pictures of their version so that I can see them and use the hashtag Paul Richmond Studio so I can find them. And it's so fun to get to see how everybody interprets them. You know, it's just like it's kind of like starting a drawing or starting a piece of art and then turning it over and letting somebody else finish it. And everybody takes it in such a completely different direction. It's a lot of fun. So there's a new one every Friday, and I keep them up for the whole week. So even if you miss it Friday, you can go any day and do it. But I enjoy that. It's really fun. Maybe I'll do a whole book one of these days.
That would be amazing to have a coloring book. Oh, you should do that for Christmas sometime. That would be great.
Yeah.
Put that out for everyone. That would be fun.
Well, now there just may be something like that in the works, but I can't say just yet.
There you go. See, I'm psychic like that sometimes. You never know. Well, let's get on to war paint. Like I said, war paint really brings, like I said, your use of color is amazing. But these colors are darker and richer, and they really bring out the subject. I mean, you can almost feel what they're feeling and thinking. What brought this series on?
So war paint was really, I started that series a couple years ago, and it's really been something that I've sort of developed over that period of time. And even just within that period, I've seen it kind of evolve in different ways. But the original concept was that I wanted to be more expressive with my paintings. I had gotten to a place where I was, you know, painting a little bit tighter, more realistic, very smooth kind of paintings. And I just wanted to really force myself to go in a different direction, because I always respond more to artwork that kind of just has that human touch to it, where you can look and see where their brush was or how they moved their hand to make that mark. It just kind of draws me in. So I wanted to try to capture more of that in my own work, to have more energy and be more expressive with it. And I love painting people. I always have. It's my favorite subject, no matter whether it's a close-up portrait or a group of people interacting in some way. It doesn't matter. I mean, people for me are really the biggest inspiration. So putting those two ideas together, I just thought it would be very powerful to do a series of figurative pieces where the paint kind of told a little bit more of the story about the person. So they're literally smearing paint across their faces or their bodies, and the colors of the paint, the texture, all add a little bit more to the story. So that was kind of the idea. And I started with just a small group of friends who I was able to convince to pose for me. And I did make them literally like dump paint on themselves so I could take reference photos. And then I did the paintings based on them and did a small show of that in Provincetown the first year. And then that went really well, and I felt like I wasn't quite finished with that idea yet, so I expanded on it. The original series was all male models, and I thought it would be really interesting to branch out and start showing, you know, a wider variety of people of different ethnicities, genders, you know, different backgrounds, ages, everything, because it was about using that paint, that idea of the paint to relate to the person. I haven't necessarily walked in their shoes, but how can I tap into what, you know, their experience is, or find a way to connect with them in some way. So it was a really powerful experience to kind of work on those paintings. And I got to display them in a show at a museum in March. And it was awesome to get to see them all there. A lot of the models came out to the opening so that the people who came to the show could see them and see the paintings. And there was one really cool experience that happened the night of the opening that I'll share with you if you want.
Or if you don't want,
I guess, since I'm on a roll here.
Since you're on a roll, I want.
Just taking over, sorry.
That's okay.
That's what happens. I work from home. I'm quiet all day, so when I get a chance to talk, then it's all over.
It's our pleasure, anyway. Believe me. So we had an opening, and what happened?
Yes. Oh, yeah. So we one of the models that I painted is a transgender friend of mine. And in the painting, I had a lot of the figures in the series have the war paint on their faces. But as I was talking with him, he was sharing that one of his, you know, big battles in life that he really struggled with was the chest surgery. So we actually
put
the paint on his chest, and then in the his pose is sort of like dragging his fingers through the paint, like he's removing the paint, and it was symbolic of, you know, what he went through in the surgery. And so I included that painting in the show, but I'm always very careful not to give too much information about the piece, because I don't like to be heavy-handed about that kind of thing. I want people to be able to reach their own conclusions about it and connect with it however they want. But it was so interesting because a lot of times people who have a common experience just pick up on it and relate to it. And one of the women who works at the museum said that her grandson, who I believe was 16 or 17, is transgender, saw the postcard where they had used that image on the postcard, and without, you know, having any insight at all into my, you know, purpose for painting it, it completely clicked, and he understood what the painting was about, and he was, you know, really touched by it. And she asked me if she could bring him to the opening. You know, and it was a pretty small town. He didn't have a lot of exposure to, you know, other people who were like him. And it just so happened that the friend of mine who modeled for the painting was coming out for the opening. So I was able to connect the two of them, and it was just so cool. Like, throughout most of the evening, I could kind of look over and see them sitting on a little bench in front of that painting, and my friend was, you know, talking with him and telling him stories and kind of letting him know about his journey and stuff that he went through. And I just thought, this is the most awesome, you know, result of doing a painting that I could ever hope for. I mean, the fact that it, you know, brought two people together and helped, you know, maybe, you know, make an important connection for this young person. I just thought that was so, so amazing. That's what I love about art. That's why I think it's so powerful.
Oh, that is amazing. I mean, that's the arts in general. I mean, any kind of medium, visual or video or actors, that just all of you guys just bring that stuff to life. And I just can't imagine how fulfilling that'll be. That is awesome.
It is. It is cool. And like you said, it happens in all across the arts. And I know I've witnessed it myself many times. And also in terms of how I relate to the art of other people. I mean, it just seems like there's something so powerful about, you know, communicating in an unspoken way like that, when you're able to really get across, you know, something that maybe couldn't even be said easily with words, but you can connect with another person through an image or through a dance or through whatever it is you're doing. It constantly keeps me motivated and wanting to do more and find new ways to you know, say what I want to say.
I love that. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break. I want to go ahead and come back and talk about all this moving excitement to California. I want to briefly talk about your charities you work on and see how that's going to go through all this. But we're listening to Paul Richmond, now of Monterey, California. And you're listening to Left of Straight Show. We're going to keep in the Adele mode and play one more Hello cover. This one is going to be from to the violin one from Damien Escobar. I really love this version. This is Damien Escobar, who was on America's Got Talent, semifinalist for his violin playing. And this is another cover of Hello. We'll be back on Left of Straight Show in just a couple of moments. Thank you. All right, and we are back. That was Damian Escobar with Adele's "Hello." We're giving her enough plugs today. I think I get a royalty from her, Paul. I'm like.
I'm sure she can spare a little.
Exactly, she can spare a little change. Good, because I guess Billy Gilman. Do you know who Billy Gilman is, the artist, singer?
Oh yeah.
I guess he's going to be on The Voice tonight. I'm excited about that.
Oh,
I don't know
that's
if
good.
I would imagine someone turns around for him and just, I can't believe he's going to be on The Voice, because I still think of him as such a popular singer, but I guess this has really helped invigorate his career. So, and he's doing Adele's new song, When They Were Young, tonight on there, from what I've heard. So I can't wait
cool.
to see
what
happens.
He probably looks a little different than what I remember. I'm a little out of touch. When I picture Billy Gilman, I'm picturing like an 8-year-old. So.
Right. You remember that? Of course. Yeah. Right. Now he's a very handsome man with a very handsome boyfriend. Yes.
Oh, good for him.
All right, well, let's get back to all about you. So you were born and raised here in Columbus, Ohio area, and you are now in Monterey. Now, was this because your husband had a job there? What made you guys decide to go there? Was it something else?
Well, so
what
we
brought
is,
this move upon?
That's a good question. It happened so fast. Both of our heads are kind of still spinning a little, but we've always loved, you know, visiting. I've actually not been to Monterey before the day that we moved here, but we've been out to San Francisco, traveled kind of all up and down along the coast, kind of around that area. And we've always kind of just fantasized about moving out this way eventually. And, you know, there were some things about Dennis's job that wasn't a great fit for him in Columbus. And so I just said, why don't you just start looking now? And I mean, why wait? You know, until we're old, let's do it now and we can have some fun.
Right.
So he was kind of not so sure about that at first. And I was fine either way, because, you know, we both had a lot of roots in Columbus. I'd lived there my whole life and he had lived there to come to college and stayed. So, you know, all of our friends and just, you know, my family all lives there, and his family is in Eastern Ohio. So there were a lot of, things pulling us or kind of tying us to that area that made it a little difficult to move. But this perfect job opportunity came along for him. He's a nurse practitioner and he gets to work with cancer patients out here at this awesome facility. He loved the people, the practice, everything about it. And he, so I said, well, let's do it, because I can do what I do from anywhere. So we decided to try a new adventure. And
have
and
usable
so far
travel.
We're both,
I love it.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, and honestly, I think sometimes when you're a creative person, it can be a really good thing to change up your environment a little and experience new things and have to kind of figure out, explore a whole new landscape. If you get too much into the same routine, sometimes that can reflect in your work. So I figured it might be a good thing ultimately too. And so far, I mean, we've only been here. Let's see, we came out the beginning of August, so we've only been here a short time, but I've joined up with a great art studio here in Monterey called Open Ground Studios, where in Columbus I had a studio, but it was like my own little kind of private room in a building with other artists who had private rooms. And here at Open Ground, they're doing kind of a really interesting setup where you have your own like storage spaces, but the workspace is one big like common space. So it was great for me. I'm a pretty social person anyhow, and just as a way for me to kind of be immediately surrounded by other creative people and working next to them, you know, I really love that aspect of it, and I'm excited to get more involved, you know, with what they're doing over there. And I can like drive to San Francisco. I mean, it's just that alone is crazy to me, you know.
Right. Exactly. So. Well, that is so cool. Now, how was you got some big changes, though, like you said, besides now, Sal, you had a house that you guys owned together back there. You sold that.
Yeah.
Now you're in an apartment life. How are you adjusting to that?
Well, we had to downsize a lot. And then when we got here, we realized that we didn't quite downsize enough. We still have way too much. I mean, you get a lot of crap after, you know, living
place
for a while. And so we're learning to live with less. I mean, it's actually a really nice big townhouse, but it's just, as far as just like storage areas and stuff, you know, there's no basement. So we have like a basement full of stuff in our house. So it is a bit of an adjustment in that way. But, you know, actually, I think it's a good thing because really who needs all that stuff? I mean, it's just stuff. So we're kind of like cutting it down to basics a little more and starting over. But yeah, it's all good. I like it. For me, home is where, you know, Dennis and the dogs are. It's not about the stuff or about the geographic location. Like I said, I do miss all of our friends and of course our family back in Columbus. But Skype makes that a little easier, and talking on the phone all the time and stuff. My mom and sister are coming out to visit in a few weeks, and they're gonna stay here for about a week. Mom wants to make a bunch of food that we can put in our freezer, so she knows we have
nice.
To eat. So it'll be good.
That's great.
That part is, for me, is the biggest adjustment. I can adjust pretty quickly to, you know, being in a new place, and I don't care about the stuff and the furniture. I mean, all of that doesn't really matter. But the people part was what was made it difficult for sure.
Right. And the great thing about Monterey area, I was telling you, I lived there, actually lived in Salinas, which is about 30 miles inland from there. And you're in California, but you actually get a little bit of change of seasons. It doesn't get as cold, obviously, as here in Ohio, but you definitely have some seasons. It's going to get cold there. You're going to have a little bit of snow on occasion. You do have, it's mostly banyan trees. They don't change too much color, but they lose their leaves at least. So you have that, and you have the beach. So it's kind of a great part of California. I think a lot of people don't know when you go to Monterey and San Francisco that even though it's in California, there's a lot of fog involved, a lot of everything else. So it's have a lot of different temperaments, right? And it's beautiful.
It's not
talk
like
about the
we
beauty,
love,
right?
Yes. I mean, well, my favorite season in Ohio was fall, and sort of like what Ohio fall is like, that seems to be what it's like here a lot of the time. And so that's great by me. But it's not the place to come if you're like somebody who wants to be in a Speedo on the beach. But
right.
Really, that kind of beach, you'll freeze. It won't be pretty.
Not at all. You're right.
More like wetsuits. But
I can imagine for visual artists, you've been kind of joked about it on your Facebook page. There's all these trees and waterscapes and gorgeous vistas. It's got to be very at least entertaining for your eye as an artist.
Oh yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm going to switch gears totally and start doing like Bob Ross landscapes, but I do love all of
we'll hope not.
I do love all of the scenery though. And I've always kind of like made jokes that I'm really not that much of a nature person. Like I was the kid who would prefer to be inside in the air conditioning than to go to the pool or, you know, play outside or anything when I was growing up. But you do appreciate nature a little bit more when you're suddenly like in an environment where it all looks so different. I mean, everything does. It's different. The trees are different. They're more like twisty.
Right.
Different
right.
Flowers, different plants, and everything is, you know, the land is so up and down. There's so many hills and things, and everything was very flat where we were. So you do just kind of like notice it a lot more. And I find myself wanting to go out and explore it a lot. We live right across the street from a big park, so we're, you know, take the dogs over there, walk around and explore, and they love going to the Carmel Beach and all of that stuff. So
nice.
It's a lot of fun.
I've never been
it.
More lost in my life than moving to Ohio because it is so flat. I mean, in California where I grew up, there was mountains always to the north, there was beach always to the west or south. There was so I always knew where I was. In Ohio, I have never know what direction, unless I know if the sun's overhead, I'm basically screwed because I have no idea what direction anything.
Well, I never know where anything is. I rely on GPS to get me everywhere, but that was the same in Columbus too, so nothing really changed. Dennis already knows, you know, how to get everywhere around town, and I still, of course, need GPS just to go to like the grocery store.
I love it. Well, you're bringing your art already to the masses. Thank goodness for all of us. You have a showing this week in San Francisco, and you're going to be teaching some classes. Talk about that.
Yes, both of those things. So I did manage to find my way up to San Francisco. I would use my GPS, my trusty phone. But there is, I connected with a friend of mine named Renee Capone, who I'd been friends with for a number of years online. We've never met, but he's another artist who does a lot of sort of queer themed work, and we've been both been doing it a long time. We were friends before Facebook. I don't even know what it might have been, MySpace or something, but we saw each other's work, and he's always lived in the Castro area in San Francisco. And so I was talking with him when we were moving out here, and he is involved with this awesome art gallery, this art space in the Castro. It's called Art Saves Lives, and it's sort of the brainchild of this awesome woman named Tomasino DiMaio, who's an artist herself. It has a lot of great history there in the Castro, knows everybody. But she created this space where they do all kinds of cool things. You know, they have figure drawing sessions and different kinds of performances and stuff like that. But then they display, they do a lot of art, this awesome space. And so Renee invited me to be a part of this exhibit with a group of other artists who are just incredible, every single one. I'm so excited and honored to be a part of it. But the show is up for the whole month, but we're having the reception this Friday, and it's from 6 to 10. And again, it's at the Art Saves Lives Gallery, and that's at 518 Castro Street. So it's a public event. Everybody is invited. They're having different performances throughout the evening, like burlesque dancers and boylesque. Something for everyone. I don't even know what all, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So I have three of my recent war paint pieces that are a part of the show, along with, like I said, a whole slew of other artists. So everybody from this area should, I hope, come and check it out and come hang out with us. I bought a pretty new shirt for it.
Nice. So that's nice.
That's not the main reason
it
to come, but, you know, that's something I'm excited about today. so that's happening this weekend. And then I mentioned the Open Ground Studios here in Monterey. That's where I'm actually going to be doing some teaching next month. It's such a great community resource. They have all kinds of classes and programs and things geared towards people who might not have ever really done much art before. And teaching is something that I've always done. When I lived in Columbus, I taught classes at the Stonewall Center there in the Short North. I've always loved teaching. So I was really happy to be able to jump right into that here. So at Open Ground Studios, I'm doing a figure painting workshop. It's October 8th and 9th. And it's for anybody who wants to come and learn how to paint people, you're welcome to do it. And you can find out more about that at opengroundstudios.com. We're starting out kind of taking a more realistic approach at first, and then mm-hmm. I'm going to really try to push people to think about how they might put their own creative spin on the idea of the figure. You know, just like how what I've done with the War Paint series, it's helped me to loosen up and be more expressive. So kind of talking with people and helping them to maybe get in touch with their own creativity and maybe, you know, go into a little bit more of an abstract style or stylized approach, or just something so that they don't feel like it has to be super realistic, because there's so many different ways you can interpret what you're seeing and what you're painting. So that's what I really love, is when I can help people to find their own voice. That's so fun as a teacher. I could never be someone that teaches everybody to paint the same way. That would be way too boring for me. So I like
right.
to teach these kinds of things where everyone can kind of do their own thing.
Nice. That's so exciting. And now tell me what's going to happen. You founded this great organization, You Will Rise in Columbus, for children. Is that going to keep going in Columbus, or do we have a second extension in California, or where is that?
Yes.
What's going to happen with You Will Rise?
We are going to be all over, and that is something that definitely will continue. You Will Rise was the anti-bullying program that actually I started with Linda, my childhood art teacher, because I recognized how much, you know, she, through her classes, really helped me to deal with the bullying I experienced as a kid, and how important, you know, being able to express that through art was. And so we have a website, youwillriseproject.com, which is ongoing. People can submit work to us, people of all ages. and experience levels, any kind of creative work that deals with bullying. So it could be a painting, or it could be a poem, or a performance of some kind. And we post it there as a way to create community and connections. And there's just been so many awesome things that have happened because of that project. But it is very much continuing, and we are still doing workshops in both places. We're going to actually, I'm hoping that we'll be able to do something later this year, maybe at Open Ground Studios here in Monterey, connected with You Will Rise. But back home in Columbus, there's a You Will Rise workshop happening September 30th through October 2nd. And it's working with a group in Zanesville, a group of autistic people at this awesome center. So and dealing with some of the bullying issues that they have faced, which is very specific, you know, to them, and helping giving them a way to express that. And then, like we always do whenever we have a workshop, it concludes with an exhibit of their work that is shared with the public. So that's open to anybody to come and see the work. That the display is Sunday the 2nd from 3:30 to 5:30. And you can find out more about that at uwriseproject.com.
That's amazing. I'm so happy to see it expanding like that. Of course, October is National Bullying Month, anti-bullying month, of course.
Yes,
so
it is.
So we have that coming up in October. And now that you're in California, I'm going to have to team you up with our good friends Ronnie and Eddie. They run Friend Movement down in Southern California, about a 4.5-hour drive down there, and they do such great work with bullying, too. I think you guys would be powerhouses.
Oh, wonderful.
They're both actors down there, and that would be a lot of...
Yeah, I would love that.
Oh, I think it would be amazing work. You guys do such great things already. I think between the three of you, would be unstoppable. So that is so cool.
Well, I would love that. There are a lot of people doing really interesting work, you know, in relating to the issue of bullying in some way. And I feel like, you know, our project is just one small part of a bigger puzzle. And the more that we can connect with others who are involved in the movement and collaborate, those connections are vital. I mean, to be able to even just reach a few kids, it can make such a lasting impression. And we've certainly seen that happen through the programs that we've done. Just, you know, listening to them, giving them a voice, letting them know that somebody cares about what they have to say, that can make all the difference. So, you know, that's something anybody can do.
That is awesome. I love it. Well, tell everyone real quick, we're running out of time here. Let everyone know about your website, because you have some gorgeous pictures of all of your prints on there. Talk about your YouTube channel, which is funnier than heck with you and your assistant. Is just like amazing. But give everyone your social media and all your websites.
Okay, let me run through all that. The main one is my website, because it has links to everything. So that is paulrichmondstudio.com. And you can find me on YouTube. My name on there is Paul Richmond Studio also. And I post new videos every Wednesday. So I have a new one that is coming out tomorrow. But it's a whole mix of things that I'll do. Some that are kind of like a little more serious for me, which is where like time-lapse videos of me working on a painting and that type of stuff. But then I also just really love doing kind of silly collaborations with people and random videos about whatever. So it's a lot of fun, and I'm a part of the World of Wonder network of video bloggers. It's the group that does RuPaul's Drag Race. They have a YouTube network for the kind of LGBT vlog people, which I guess I am now. But but it pushes it out to a bigger audience and kind of connects you with more people. So I've been having a lot of fun doing that stuff. But yeah, I'm all over social media all the time. I love connecting and sharing things. So on Facebook, Paul Richmond Studio, Twitter, I think it's Paul Richmond Art. Don't know why I changed it up there, but maybe studio was already taken. Instagram, Pauly World. But like I said, if you just go to my main website, paulrichmondstudio.com, it has links to everything, and also has links to my store, where I just reopened it yesterday. I sell I have some original paintings in there. There aren't too many left at the moment, but there are a few. And then I sell limited edition prints, and I just reopened the store because I was able to start working with a print out here. It's Carmel Fine Art Prints and Reproduction. They do amazing work. So I'm really excited to get to work with them and continue selling prints, because that's such a great way. You know, there's so many people that connect with a painting or something and maybe they can't afford to buy the original, but they really want to be able to have it in their space. So, you know, being able to do prints is great because it lets everybody have it that wants it. I love that. So
right. And I want to thank you for your amazing offer to donate a print to one of our lucky listeners. We're going to talk about that, how they can enter in to get one of that, because that is just an amazing thing for you. Thank you so much for doing that. That's great.
My pleasure. Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap it up here. I want to thank you so much for coming on. We're going to have to start a GoFundMe account for the intern, unless he can get out to California. He'll have nothing to do, right?
I know. Well, he didn't do too much when I was there. So.
I love it. Well, I've been so excited to reconnect with you. We got to have you back on for the Christmas show like we did last year. Maybe if there's another project coming, maybe we could sell something for Christmas time. That would be kind of fun.
Okay.
Have you back on the Christmas show.
Great.
So I will send you a note. And I think it's the first Monday and Tuesday of December. We're doing a 2-day one this time instead of just one day. Because last time we had like 10 people on for 10 minutes, and we're going to be, or 5 minutes, and we're going to do, I think, 2 days. So we have 10 minutes each for Christmas time. So we'll have to have you back very soon.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Stay on the line for me, everyone. That is Paul Richmond, amazing artist. Go to his website, www.paulrichmondstudio.com. We're going to have a giveaway of one of his prints, and you're just going to love this. It's going to be a great collection to add. We're going to be back in just a couple moments with the amazing Gnome Ash, talking about his great new season for his show. But let's go ahead and play a little bit in honor of the war paint from Paul. We're going to play a little of my favorite Trevor Page Warrior. You're listening to Left of Straight Show. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Tell me, is this what you believe? Into the depths of darkness, as dark as it can be, I will hold you tight and we will rise up with the sun. With my hand in yours, companion, we'll fight until we've won. Can't you see it? The beauty. I'll keep trying to open up your eyes, and I won't concede. I will put on my armor, and I will stand up tall. There's nothing.
All righty, and we are back. That is our good buddy Trevor Page with Warrior. Trevor, I just talked to him on Facebook. He's going to be on the show in November, so see what new music he has. So excited about that. But, guys, I have such an honor today because thanks so much for him for filling in because, you know, we had Jonathan scheduled. He had to reschedule for his series, but we got so lucky. He's an actor, writer, producer. His hit web series he co-created, My Gay Roommate, is being relaunched and reimagined in even bigger format. He's a Tufts University graduate who started out acting in and around Boston. He's been living in New York City and living his dream to be bold, original, funny, and human to the core. I'm so excited to be able to talk to him today. Please welcome to the show, Noam Ash. Noam, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I am amazing. Thank you so much for calling in. How is everything in beautiful downtown New York City?
I am actually uptown, but it is equally beautiful. It's very, very nice.
Equally beautiful uptown.
Well, you know, I'm walking by the river as we speak. It's quite lovely.
That sounds like a wonderful almost fall day. I'm liking that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Like I told you off air there and I told the audience that I have had a huge crush on you. I think you're cute as hell. You have such a fun personality and you brought it to this web series that I came across, what is it, 3-4 years ago now. And now you're bringing it back. How exciting is that?
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's been a year since we finished the third season of My Gay Roommate on YouTube. And we've spent the past year developing it into a full 30-minute comedy with one of the best production companies in New York, Ish Entertainment. And right now we just launched our Kickstarter to fund the pilot, which we're really, really excited about.
Well, nice. Let's talk all about that in just a couple of minutes. Let's start with you. I'm always first time on the show. I'd like to give my listeners a little background, everyone. Tell about where did you grow up? What was your first kind of thoughts about maybe becoming an actor, doing this whole business of show? Tell me about yourself a little bit.
I grew up in Israel. My mom's American and my dad's Israeli. And I would spend my summers coming to New York to visit my family, my mom's side of the family. And I don't know why my mom decided to sign me up for musical theater camp. I really didn't want to go. So I don't know why, but I went and I fell in love with it. So basically what I'm saying is it's all her fault. And and here we are today. And then when I finished high school, I went to Tufts University where I studied drama. And I also studied at the National Theater Institute in Connecticut. And I think it was really at the National Theater Institute that they kind of really instilled in us the concept of making your own work. And so when I returned from my semester abroad, quote unquote, because it was in Connecticut, not abroad.
Right.
me and Austin decided that we wanted to create something together. And we came up with the concept of My Gay Roommate, which is based on our relationship as freshman and sophomore and junior and senior year roommates. And we just kind of shot it and we put it out on YouTube. And at the time, there were very few scripted web series. You know, vlogging had just started to become a thing, but very few people
right.
were making scripted content on YouTube. So we were really one of the first. And it just kind of caught on and people started writing about us and we were like, oh, well, I guess we got to continue. And so we did. And
well, that's amazing. Like I said, I remember when it first came out, watching it and seeing it. I think I was very early adopter. And like you said, it just blew up. I mean, it's before. I mean, now we have My Sister's So Gay and we have Child of the 70s and all these great web series. It's kind of been the thing to do. But you guys really started the trend back then. And that's just so cool. I love that.
Thanks. Thanks so much. Yeah. It's been an incredible, incredible journey. And once, you know, our episodes kept getting longer and longer. And then by the time we finished the third season, the episodes were about 15 minutes long. And, you know, we finished the season and took a moment to regroup. And we're like, what's the next step? And it just seemed obvious to us that the next thing to do was turn it into a full half-hour comedy. And so we got to
right.
work.
That is awesome. And you've been lauded everywhere. You had a great write-up today again in HuffPost, Queer Voices. You've been in there many times. Queerty, Logo, Out Magazine. You guys were in Vanity Fair. Hello. How cool was that?
That was pretty cool. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Not going to lie. It was
and
crazy.
So let's talk about the first season. Give everyone kind of a brief preview of it. This is going to be a retelling of it, so you're actually going to be starting over from scratch. But the first season, you and James, now, like you said, talk about your co-producer with this, and you guys base this off of you, but was he like the same thing? Did you guys have these? I love the rug talks. I love the music you guys use. Talk about the first season and how much of that was true to life.
We like to say that it's kind of a highly theatricalized highlights reel of our of our college years. I mean, I didn't spontaneously break into musical numbers that were choreographed in real life, as hard as it
right.
is to imagine. And you know, a lot of the stuff is also borrowed from, you know, other friends' experiences or things that, you know, happened around us. So it's the basis of the story is true, but it's not quite autobiographical. It's not
right.
Those events did not actually happen. It's, you know, fiction.
Now did talk about a little bit, I love from the series you have the great outtakes on the end. Are you going to be bringing that back to the new series, do you think? Because the outtakes are part of the funniest part of the whole thing. You're a little
I
fierce
hope so. Oh my god, I hope so. They're actually one of my favorite parts too. I think every show should have a blooper reel. It's just like such a fun window into what it's like to make it. And I think that that's really one of the things that's so great about, you know, YouTube and, you know, new media is that people feel more connected. And even though we're doing something that's scripted and obviously crafted for the audience, I think it's fun to be able to get a sneak peek and really feel like you're in the trenches with us, you know, making it. I think that's really fun.
Right.
And yeah, I hope to continue.
That's
it.
Awesome. And then we'll talk about this new incarnation in a second, but the first, because you got some great people coming up to do it, but the first one, some of my favorite people, you had Andrew Keenan Bolger make a quick cameo, who I'm a huge
yes.
Newsies fanatic. I went and saw that forever. I mean, you have
yes.
Angel, you have Wilson Heredia.
Wilson Heredia,
and,
yes.
Oh, my God. You had some great co-stars. How fun. Did you just know these people from acting, or how did you get these people to come on board? That was fun.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them were, you know, just friends in New York. And I met Wilson through a mutual friend of ours who introduced us and said, no, on whatever you do, like, you cannot ask him to be on the show. Like, he is a Tony Award winner. Like, you need to just, like, calm yourself. And I was like, okay, I won't say anything. Like, I'm just happy to meet him. And then, like, the first thing Wilson says is, like, so can I be on your show? And I was like, yes.
No.
Definitely.
I love it.
And it was, I mean, he's amazing, and I'm so happy to call him a friend now. But, I mean, the day he arrived on set, I was actually very sick. And I was like, God damn it. Like, the one day we have a
Aww.
Tony Award winner here to sing with us, I'm fucking dead. But it all worked out great, and we had so much fun. And
you're singing Rent. Oh, how fun was that? That is so cool. I love that.
It was a very, it was an out of body experience. I have to say. Yeah.
And then, I mean, before you're talking about this new season now, and from what I can gather, this is kind of a whole reworking, right? You've kind of gone back to the drawing board. It's going to be this kind of fun, bizarro world for heteros, but Nirvana for the gays, from what I could figure out. It's kind of like flipping the switch a little bit, right?
Well, yeah. So, you know, I called it the Kickstarter campaign, My Gay Roommate Reloaded, because it is a retelling. You know, we're going back to the beginning. But it's a brand new show. It's based on the same concept as the web series, which is that, you know, we follow these kind of like modern odd couple, one gay, one straight guy through college who are best friends. But it's a brand new show. And we have a much, much bigger cast and ensemble. It is a two-hander comedy. It does focus on the two guys, but now we've expanded the world, right? Because it's like a full-blown half-hour comedy, so it goes outside of the dorm room. They live in a suite with, you know, three other guys, and then, you know, there are the girls that live across the hall, and then there are the professors, and, you know, and they go out into the city, and so it's a much more, it's a much bigger experience, and I think that it really...
It's a real-life half-hour sitcom. I mean, you're doing a real sitcom here.
Yes, exactly.
That is amazing. And you're kind of using the Kickstarter to roll out the cast very slowly. You've had two cast announcements that are huge. Why don't you talk about those real quick?
Yeah, really, really excited about our cast. We have an incredible, incredible cast. The first cast announcement that we made was Andy Mientis, who is going to play Wesley. And Wesley is the head of the Windsor Boys, who are the a cappella superstars on campus. But because we like to flip everything in the world of My Gay Roommate, you know, they're like the cool kids and everyone, you know, wants to be them, but they're kind of like douchebags. And and the football players are the underdogs and so forth. So anyway, Andy is going to be playing the head of this awesome, evil a cappella group. And yeah, really, really excited to have him. A lot of you will probably know Andy from Smash and Arrow. And he was the star of Les Mis on Broadway, and I really couldn't be happier to have him.
Yeah, that's
and
pretty
then,
exciting stuff.
Yeah. And then the second casting announcement that we made is Scotty Dynamo, and he is an awesome YouTuber and recording artist and actor. And I met Scotty in Toronto. I actually went to see my friend's play in Toronto, and we met up, and I was like, there is a role that you will be perfect for. Would you be interested? And he said yes. So that's how that worked out, and I'm really excited to have him.
That's great. Yeah, he's got a great music video, got a couple good music videos. I didn't have permission
They're
to
awesome.
Play them, so I'm not playing them on here today, but he is a lot of fun, and I think from the character, from what you've briefly said on the Kickstarter campaign of what you have in mind for his character, he's going to be able to play that very, very well, I think. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, he's also part, he plays Brendan. He's also one of the Windsor Boys, but he's actually not as evil as the other Windsor Boys, and he and Nick kind of develop a sort of a thing that...
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's got to be
yes,
the best
yes,
part
yes.
of being a creator. You get to create these. I mean, talking about the old series, you had some fun on the old series with your cowboy and everything else. How fun is that? And then you got to do your own musical episode for the end of season three. What kind of dream stuff was that? Was there anything that you put together that you kind of said, I can't believe we're doing this?
I feel like once it's done, you look back and you're like, holy shit, how did this actually come together? But I think the nicest part about, you know, there's a lot to be said about difficulties in, you know, kind of grassroots filmmaking. But the best part about it is that you have no time for anxiety and concern and how are we going to do this? There's just no time. You just have to do it.
Right.
So, you know, that's really the best thing about it is that while you're doing it, it's like, oh, this didn't work out. No problem. Like, we will absolutely find a new shooting location in under 2 hours and transport, you know, our 20 casting crew members. Like, absolutely. That's not a problem. There's just no time.
Right.
So looking back, it's very like, holy shit. Yeah. And, you know, the music video in the first season, we actually shot at the American Repertory Theater in Boston at Club Oberon, which is their second stage. And it was during that horrific snowstorm. There was a huge, huge snowstorm, and all the public transportation in Boston was shutting down. And we had had people, you know, come up from New York specifically for that weekend to shoot the music video. And we were like, you know what? We don't care. And we just, like, got up super early. We, like, hiked out to Harvard Square. They opened the theater for us, and we somehow did it when all the city was completely shut down.
Oh, God, I love it. I love it. Well, you got this Kickstarter campaign now. You need about $65,000 to get this pilot done. You're already 20% there. $13,000
yeah.
growing every day. We got 3 weeks left and some great perks on it. Talk about the Kickstarter campaign a little bit.
Yeah. So we decided to go to Kickstarter because it's, you know, it's worked for us once before with season three, and the fans
right.
of the show have been so awesome and supportive. So it kind of seemed like a no-brainer that that was the best place to go. And we launched the campaign. And if you go on the Kickstarter page, you'll see that there are different rewards for different amounts of support. And my goal in that was to try and include people in the process as much as possible, because I think, like I said before, you know, the best part about independent film production is that, you know, feeling like you're in the trenches. And so,
right.
So for example, if you would be so generous as to donate $50 to the project, then we'll share an online album with you that we'll be updating throughout our shooting process every day. So you'll kind of be able to feel like you're on set with us and see how it's getting made. And then of course, if you're so totally awesome that you have $10,000 to spare, we would, you maybe.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. No.
Yeah, just send me a check. It'll be fine.
Okay.
Cash preferred. No, I'm kidding. but you know, that would make such an individual and executive producer of the show, and you know, you could really be on set with us, help us with, you know, casting some of the other parts, and just be a part of the whole process.
Well, one thing I am going to do, and I'm going to tweet it out today after the show, is I will the levels start. I mean, you can donate anything. You'll take a buck, right? But you have some great things starting at $10. You have a $10 or above, $25 above, $50 or above. I will match anybody up to $100. If they DM me and show them a picture of their donation, I'm going to put in $100 towards the project. So I'm going to make sure we put that for the Left and Straight Show audience. I know we have some great people out there that like to back a lot of really creative projects like this. So we're going to get you at least $200 towards it. $10,000, not so much. But we're going to make it there
for you.
That's
awesome. Man. Thank you so, so much. That's so incredibly generous of you. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I love fun work. I think this is great. Like I said, I watched the first three seasons. Such a huge, huge fan. Now, what are you guys planning on doing now that it's in a half-hour format? Are you actually going to shop it around? Is it going to be like an Amazon Netflix? Are you going to, if you don't find a distributor, is it going to go back to YouTube? Or what are your plans right now?
Well, you know, that would be the dream scenario is, you know, we shoot the pilot and then, you know, we get a full series order from, you know, any of those places that you mentioned. And I think we have a really, really strong shot at doing that. But of course, we're always, you know, open to independent distribution. We've done it before. It's worked great for us. So we're committed to bringing the whole thing to the audience regardless.
Right. That would be terrific. I mean, you have such great, you have a proven track record. You have some great name people coming. Like you said, I mean, Andy's been on Smash and on Flash and on all the, everything that rhymes with an ash. He's with Mr. Ash now. So
that's right.
Andy
that's
is
right.
the Ash kind of guy, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. It's been really gratifying. And, you know, New York obviously has a lot of TV and film, but it really is a theater town. And the theater community has really come around the project, and we have a lot of more exciting people to announce in the coming days. And I think people are going to be really excited about it.
Now, you've always done so good in the past ones, too, about really incorporating great music into it that fits the music. Have you kind of got music picked out in your head? I love that you use Chorus Line for the theme song. What do you have any thoughts of your theme yet, on your opening yet?
Well, you know, I would love, love, love to keep that theme. I don't know if we can get the rights to it, but we sure as hell will try. You know, that's the only thing about when you take things, you know, bigger and then you start shopping it around, then you can't really get away with, you know, taking someone's music for 10 seconds. Because on YouTube, it's fine. It's legal. We didn't break any laws. But
right.
you're not making any money off of it, so it's fine. But if it, you know, if the show would be so fortunate as to go to, you know, an online premium network, then, you know,
right.
everything has to be, you know, done a little bit differently. But yeah, I mean, I hope so. I hope we can, you know, secure the rights to keep that. But the one thing that sort of started doing, even in the YouTube incarnation of the show, is a lot of original music. And we
right.
have some incredible composers. We worked with Karner and Gregor, who wrote both of our original music episodes. And so we will definitely be incorporating music. Yes.
That's awesome. That's kind of what Blog Talk is a little different because it's even though the what I use for my format here is they allow me to use music, but they don't license any music. So that's why I have all of my guests for everyone that I've had be on the show. They do all my music, and it's great because you get this amazing original music, and I get it from a lot of out actors and a lot of non-out entertainers. But you really find the best music when you go to original music, I think.
I think so too. And then it also, you know, when we were thinking about what music to use in the video of our Kickstarter, you know, we were messing around with a few different options. And then we were like, wait a minute, we have two songs that are ours that, you know, that were written for us. And we just used the instrumental track for that. And I think people really respond to it because you hear that music and you think of the show. You know, people recognize
right, exactly.
it.
Right, exactly.
And it becomes something.
And you're giving back, too.
Yours.
I mean, you're giving back to other artists to let
yes.
them do their dream as part of your dream. That's just a great circle of
yes.
life there. I love that.
Yeah, it's an honor. Yeah.
Nice. And you said, Nagutino with Ish. Talk about Ish for those of us that aren't New York people. That's just a video production company. They're kind of being in charge of all of the filming, and they'll do post with you and everything. Or what's their part in this?
Yeah, so Ish Entertainment is a production company here in New York. It was founded by Michael Hirshhorn, who used to run VH1. And
nice.
Yeah, right? Fancy. And they've been in development with us for the past year, so they've really helped us take the show to the next level. We came in with one script a year ago, which obviously they liked enough to work with us, but then we had a year's worth of rewriting and honing and changing and developing. So they're very much involved in the creative aspect. We couldn't have gotten to where we are without them. And also, they're one of the only truly independent production houses left in New York. And so, yes, that means that they will also do the physical shooting and the post-production and all of that. They have the people in-house, which is incredible.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, man, I'm just so excited to have you on. Anything last-minute things you want to say to all of our listeners and tell everyone about how they can find the web series, give them the YouTube address, give them any websites you have, and, of course, Kickstarter is going to look for My Gay Roommate, right?
Yeah, it's on Kickstarter. Well, it started at the beginning. You can go to youtube.com/mygayroommate to watch our existing three seasons. And then I hope you support us on Kickstarter. We created a custom link to it to make it easier to find. It's bit.ly/MGR-reloaded.
Nice. All right. Well, we're going to put that out on my social. Like I said, I'm going to match $100. So if we can get 10 $10 donations, if you want to be part of it and get a shout out, couple of $50 donations. Let's help get this made. We have 22 days left. Hopefully we'll get you back on the show after it happens, or maybe even as we keep going on to do some last minute funding. But thank you so much for your time.
That would be awesome. I would love
to.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun, and definitely I'll be back soon.
All right. Well, Noam, stay on the line for me. We'll be back in just a couple of seconds here, guys. We're going to play the Help You Fly because we're going to help this project fly and get off the ground. We've been talking to Noam Ash from My Gay Roommate. You're listening to the Left and Straight Show. Be back in just a couple moments to wrap this up, guys. Here's Tara Naomi, Help You Fly.
I know how misery loves its company. Got a party gathered around you now. They come running from far and wide. But who's gonna help you fly? And they come calling when you're falling down. Someone always pick you up off the ground. Oh, nobody wanna see you cry, but who's gonna help you fly? Whoa, 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 who's gonna help you fly? Well, the city that I live in feels smaller every day. It's like a little town. People always gonna help you get by, but who's gonna help you fly? It's a messed up situation when I got the world to call on when the well runs dry. But I just wanna celebrate my life, wanna find someone to help me fly. Whoa.
Are back, guys. That is Tara Naomi with Help You Fly. She was just in Chicago recently recording some new work. We're going to have her back on the show hopefully in late October or November. And her boyfriend, Scott Turner Schofield, great friend of the show. He has done some amazing new work, getting out the word on trans pride and just done some great stuff. So we're going to have both of them on very soon. Thanks so much to my guest today. It was so much fun to have Paul Richmond back on. I'm loving that he's in my old stomping grounds of California in Monterey. I lived there for 2 years. Noam Ash, like I said, had a crush on this guy forever, and I'm so happy with that he's bringing his show back, doing such great work. A lot of fun today, guys. So thanks so much for tuning in. Again, tonight, if you're watching TV, shout out for Billy Gilman, and I hope he does a great job. I'm sure he's going to get picked by somebody. It'll be interesting to see who he goes for on The Voice tonight. Then, of course, Scream Queens, John Samuels, Tala Lautner, NCIS, and the new show Bull. Hope you're watching all of that. Guys, tomorrow is Standing on My Soapbox. It's our weekly rant and review show and rave show. I'm bringing my special guest, Randy Slavicek, from The Randy Report. Be a lot about politics, a lot about pop culture, what's been happening in the past week. Tune in at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow for Standing on My Soapbox. That's a call-in show, so you guys are all invited to call in, 347-989-0126. So if you go ahead and call in, you'll be, if you can't hear the show on, if you don't have any internet or anything, you can just call in to that phone number, listen, and you'll hear the entire show while you're on hold. And then whenever we can get you on the show, we'll get you on the show to ask any questions you have or talk about what you have to rant, rave, or review for the week in LGBT news, pop culture, and politics. So that is tomorrow. Next week, we got some great guests coming on. Katie Sullivan is an actress. She's a Paralympic competitor. She just got back from the Rio Games, or the Paralympics in Rio, that was held right after the Summer Olympics. She reported on that. She's going to talk all about that. We have Scott Pomfrey, an excellent author. Next Tuesday, Alexander Rodriguez and Elizabeth Keener will be on to talk about their new radio program. They're starting up soon. And we are going to have Jonathan Allen, just confirmed with him today while we're on the show here, that he is going to be able to be back on next week at for the second hour. So great shows next week. Thanks for being part of it, guys. We're going to have this giveaway for Paul's great print. For, I don't know which one's going to be. He's going to send it to me today. It'll either be from his Cheesecake Boys collection or from War Paint. And the way we're doing all of our giveaways this season, for this one's going to be a little different. I'm going to open this up to everyone for Paul's. But what I have done to help kind of raise money, as you guys know, this is all a self-funded endeavor here on the Left of Straight show. Left of Straight Radio is totally self-funded by me right now. We're running 5 shows of LGBT programming a week that kind of coming out of my pocket. And I'm trying to get our listeners to help support the show. So what you can do, if you would like and be so inclined, if you go to our Patreon page, that's www.patreon.com, that's patreon.com/leftofstraight, LEFTOFSTR8. You can also see it in the comments below on Blog Talk, and you'll see it on the website. If you donate just $10 a month, you'll be entered in all sorts of giveaways. We're going to be doing giveaways with artists, stuff all month long. This month, we're going to be doing Steve Grand giveaways. I have some guests coming from Home and Family Channel's Dan Kohler, some chef where we're going to be giving away. But you bring it minimum $10 a month, you'll be entered in. You can give as much. I already have $22 donation a month. Thank you so much to our good friend of the show, Pete. And we hope you'll help contribute to the show and kind of help me make this so I can not have to leave my mom and go back to work again, so I can kind of take care of my mom and run this radio show full time and the radio scene. So if you can help out, again, that's www.patreon.com/leftofstraight. Donate a minimum of $10 a month. You'll be entered in all sorts of giveaways. But the Paul Richmond print, I'm going to open up to everybody, and I will tell you guys how to do that on the website and on the radio this week and next week. So thanks for being part of the show today. Again, tomorrow night, another LGBT show. Thursday, we're going to be doing another LGBT show, Healing Stigma, with my co-host Kevin Hogan, as every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern time. I want to finish off the show today with a little bit of Trevor Page again. This is American Dream. Thanks so much for listening in, guys. It's the Leftist Rachel. We'll be back next Monday and Tuesday, 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time. This is Scott signing off. Have a great rest of the week.
My billy got the round back.